Is it on now? Okay. My desire is not to speak evil of anyone, but I want to make some suggestions and implore you about what to do concerning some cultural issues that we have going on. Our children are going back into school, and they're going to be facing things that most of you and I have never faced before. We have teachers in our midst who have to go into a culture where they're told that they must identify an individual as the gender in which they want to be identified, rather than exclamation point. Rather than identify them as the way God created them. And so our teachers need prayer. But this is a difficult situation, particularly for Christians who want to stand on the moralities that God has placed in His Word. And I know that God wants this church, I know it's every church, but I'm not responsible for every church. I'm responsible for this church. And I know that the Lord wants us to go counterculture of what's been going on in the past several years. Because what are the ideas and teachings that have taken place is from the pit of hell. Okay? Now let me just say this. It's a political issue, but it's not first and foremost a political issue. It's a cultural issue, but it's not first and foremost a cultural issue. It's first and foremost a spiritual issue. And so I'm going to be speaking about it on a spiritual level today. Now I'd ask men, if you would, I want you to stand, and I want you to read with me the focal passage today, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. If you will pull that up for me, Josiah, here we go. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. You may be seated. Okay, I'm going to ask your women now, if you will stand. And I want you to read this passage of Scripture. Okay? So thank you. You may be seated. So I want to ask you a question. Who did God create in His image? Was it the male or the female? It was both. You know, God has a tender side. He also has a harsh, firm side. God is a God of justice. And He's a God of judgment, but He's also a God of love, of care, and of nurture, and of grace. That's who God is. And we see both men and women created in the image of God. In His image, He created them. The problem. Here's the deal. The lines are becoming blurred in our society about what is man and what is woman, what it's male and what is female. In our school system, the boys are not allowed to be boys and girls are not allowed to be girls. They're trying to blend the two. And God created, I want you to understand, God created you with a purpose in mind. Amen. And from the very beginning of, it used to be, when you were born, the first thing the doctor would say is, it's a boy, or it's a girl. Now they do it with ultrasounds. Okay? But you are identified, first and foremost, you're identified by the gender in which you are. Okay? Now here's the deal. If the enemy can steal your identity, he can steal your purpose, he can steal the reason you're alive, he can steal everything that you are. And it's an attack on God and His design first and foremost. It's an attack on God and His creation first and foremost. I never thought I would have to preach a message like this. Never dawned on me when I went into the ministry that this would be something that we would have to address. The attack on the gender of our children is an attack on the design of God. It's an attack on the purpose of God. It's an attack on one's identity. You are not a guy trapped in a woman's body, and you're not a woman trapped in a boy's body. You are uniquely designed by God to fulfill God's purpose for which He created you. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you are God's design and you are no mistake. I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm not trying to be angry at those who are confused about who they are. All I want to do is try to make the lines clear. And all I want this church to do is to try to make the lines clear. Our society wants to embrace the idea that a person can be whatever gender they choose to be. However, science reveals that it is impossible for a guy to become a girl and vice versa. Princeton philosopher Robert P. George said, changing sexes is a metaphysical impossibility because it is a biological impossibility. Dr. Paul McHugh, the University Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, explains, transgendered men do not become women, nor do transgendered women become men. All, including Bruce Jenner, become feminized men or masculinized women. Counterfeits are imposters of the sex with which they identify. In this lies the problematic future. Did you know that suicide attempts among transgenders are higher than any other segment of society? As a matter of fact, 41% try to kill themselves at some point in their lives. 41% of transgenders compared to 4.6% of the general public. This is a study done by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and Williams Institute. Here's the deal. People are trying to find satisfaction. They're trying to find purpose. And they're trying to find out who they are. And a person can never find out outside the scope of Jesus Christ. See, that's the problem. People don't know who they are, and that's an age-old question. Who am I, and where did I come from, and what is my purpose? Everybody wants to know that. And here's the bottom line. These individuals are trying to find out who they are. That's the bottom line. They're trying to find out what their purpose in life is. That's the bottom line. It's not us against them. That's not the problem. The problem is they don't know who they are, and they need to know who they are, and only we have the answer. Okay? Only we have the answer. It's not a fight against them. Yes, we're having to fight against the culture. We're having to fight against the political stream that's coming. But our fight against the enemy, first and foremost, and this truth, we have to speak the truth in love. We have to speak the truth in love. Our society says a man can identify as a woman if he feels like a woman, and a woman can identify as a man if he feels like a man. Children are taught that though you biologically might be a boy, that doesn't prove that you're a boy. Someone shared with me this week that they'd gone to a college board meeting. There were two applicants who made application to be on the college board because there was a vacancy. One was a man and one was a woman. And since there's all women on the school board, on the college board, someone made the suggestion that
Perhaps we should have a man on the board, and some of the people on the board looked at that person with daggers in their eyes, and she said, I can't say man, and they said no. I can't say male, and they said no. You can't say male, you can't say man. I don't know what you call it. Or how do you distinguish between the two? The whole deal is coming down from the top, trying to mess up everything that God designed. And if we don't speak truth, and if we don't do something, kids are going to gobble it up and think that everybody's the same. I want you to know that we're not the same. We are equal, but we're not the same. We are equal, but we're not the same. God did not create us the same. His design is not the same. Your purpose as a female is different than my purpose as a male. And God designed it that way, and I'm good with that. And we need to embrace what God is doing and usher in what God is wanting to do, and quit taking a back seat and letting us be and just be pushed around to what the world wants to do to us. We allow the society to make the rules as to how we identify a person. Some of you, and we've had this discussion, some of you have come to me and said, I don't know what to do. I've got a nephew, I've got a niece, I've got a brother-in-law, sister-in-law who wants to identify as a gender other than what they are. Then I don't know what to do. Well, here's the problem. Again, they're trying to find out who they are, trying to find out their purpose. And I would just suggest to you, just always bring God into the situation. You know, God has designed you for a perfect, He has a perfect purpose for your life, and you will never find it if you get confused about your gender. You'll never find it. God loves you, and He designed you, and has a purpose for your life. And you will never be totally satisfied. You will never find your purpose. You will never find your true identity until you find it in Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this because I love you. I'm saying this because I love you. It's not hate speech. It's just truth. It's time we quit sitting back. It's time we go on the offensive. And we began helping at least our children that God has given us responsibility for in this congregation to find out who they are in Christ. And don't let the world dictate to them who they think they ought to be. Five things I want you to consider. One is in regards to helping our kids. One is pray for your kids. Pray for, and I've got on your communication card on the back a question, and the question is, or at least if you would you consider and commit to praying for you, these kids that are in this church as they go to school this year? Would you do that? A second thing I want you to do is I want you to pray for Christian school teachers who are being maligned and being ostracized because they're standing for what is truth and what is right and standing upon the principles that God has given. Would you do that? The third thing I want you to do, will you pray for those who are confused about their gender? Don't fight them, just pray for them. That they understand God's purpose for their lives. And the last, or one other thing, I will encourage you, those who are confused about their gender, to find their identity in Christ. So that check, if you will, if you know, how many of you know someone who's confused about their identity, their gender? Okay, that's at least half of us. Okay? Some of you may have family members. So I would say this. Would you encourage them to find their identity in Christ? Because they're not happy where they are. They are a miserable individual. And they will always be miserable until they find out who they are in Christ. Okay, I'm going to quit preaching now. Um, And the reason for that is that I want us to pray for these children and teachers as they start school here in a week or so. Okay? So I'm going to ask all of our school-age kids to come forward. I would like our teacher this morning, if you would you come, Nancy? And Normandy is normally here, and she's a teacher as well, and so we want to pray for Normandy in regards to these. So Nancy's an art teacher at school. And what grade do you teach?
Seventh and eighth grade.
So some of these kids will be in your class this year. So I want us, if you would, just lift your hands up and let's pray for these kids, okay? And Father, I come before you this morning and I just want to thank you for these young men and women who you've brought our way. And Lord, we as a church have a responsibility to them. But Lord, they're going to be coming under false teachings, and they have been for many years. Things that I didn't have to deal with in school. But Lord, you have given them a place. And I just ask, O Lord Jesus, that you would help them to grow up in you. Help them to know their identity in you. And Father, help them to stand for truth and not be swayed by the doctrines of the enemy. And God, I pray that you would just bless them, that you would guard them, that you would guard their minds, you'd guard their hearts, you'd guard their bodies, you would guard their being. And Lord, that you would encamp about them. And Lord, let them know your truth above all truth and be able to lean on your truth and embrace your truth. Lord, help them to embrace the identity in which you have created them to be. And Lord, we give you praise. Lord, I want to pray for Nancy. I want to pray for Normandy. And I want to pray for all of the other Christian teachers in our school system who are becoming inundated with all of these false teachings. And Lord, sometimes it's like, I don't know what to do about this. But Lord, I pray you would fill them with your Spirit. And Lord, that you would fill them with the knowledge of your Word. And Lord, that they would be able to speak the truth in love when you impress them. And Lord, come what may, let them stand on your truth and let them stand on your Word. And God, I pray for Nancy. I pray for Normandy. I pray for all these other Christian school teachers that you would encamp about them. And Lord, that you would facilitate their ability to share Christ even in a culture where it's hard to do. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm proud of you guys. And so we as a church have a responsibility to them. Okay? Tom and I have been meeting for the last few weeks, maybe longer than that, and we've come up with a vision statement and for the youth. And church, you're going to be working with us in this. So if you would, turn. Is there a vision statement on there? All right. So here's the vision statement. And I've added a few words, Tom and Laura. Encouraging, comforting, and urging young men and women to abide in Christ in order to develop godly character, discover their identity in Christ, and cultivate a deep relationship with Christ for the glory of God. Okay. That's where we're headed. That's our end game. Okay? And part of that end, part of that molding them and helping them to become, because we're going to have to go counterculture, part of that molding them and helping them to become the men and women of God that God created them to be, is that we're going to have different activities for the boys than the girls. Okay. Not in all cases, but in order to help the men become as fully man as they possibly can, we're going to have a group of guys who work with our men, work with our young boys to help them get there. And to help our ladies become fully feminine ladies that God has designed them to be, we're going to have a bunch of ladies to help them get to that point. That doesn't mean that if a young girl wants to go hunting, she can't go hunting. Okay? And that doesn't mean if they like archery, they can shoot archery. That has nothing to do with the design God created you. It's not what you do, it's who you are. So what we want to do is help build up who you are in Christ. Okay? So Laura is going to come, and she's going to, the ladies are going to stay in here, and you guys are going to brainstorm about how you can help have activities that will help these young women become the women of God. Okay? And the guys are going to go in the fellowship hall where the food is. And we're going to brainstorm about what we can do to help the young men become the fully mature men of God that God has designed them to be. Now, it would be easy to get into a discussion about what our society is doing and not doing. It's easy to go there, and I'm saying don't go there, because we can get off track. God has a purpose and a plan for us at this church, and we need to be fully embracing what God has and go after it. The world can do what they do until we influence them different. That's not our responsibility today. Our responsibility today is to help create what God has already given these young men and women. Okay? So on the count of three, break. One, two, three. Break. We're not coming back. The offering. Yes. As you go out, there's an offering plate somewhere. Drop it in the offering plate. Your communication card and your offering, and the women can give your offering anytime today. All right. So, does everybody understand? Okay. Tom is going to be leader of the men's group. Yes, Jill. We're talking first grade through 12th grade. Okay.